Hey, listeners, welcome to yet another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. They just keep coming week after week after week. There's another one and another one and another one. Listeners, if you're new to the podcast, let me refer you back to our archive. If you go to lifeway.com/kids, you will find all kinds of awesome things. It is the one-stop landing page for everything Lifeway Kids, including our curriculum resources, our short-term Bible study resources. You can find our vacation Bible school resources there. You also find our blog and links to our podcast episodes in the archive. And so that's a great place to go. There's also a tab for training where we have, among other things, guides to help you share the gospel with kids in your church and help leaders feel more confident and comfortable doing that themselves. All that is at lifeway.com/kids. So go there, check it out, look for the podcast button, and you will find all kinds of past episodes that are of great interest. And there's this one that will be at the top of that page if you go there once you've started listening to this one, as long as you go within a week, right? Because the week after, there'll be another. Every Thursday, we drop a new episode. And so it is one of the highlights of my time, of my job, to get to do this and talk with friends. We have a fun friend back. So Melita Thomas is returning to the podcast.
Yay!
Hooray! I'll give you a single-handed round of applause.
This is my favorite podcast.
Aw, thank you.
I listen every Thursday.
I'm going to take. I so appreciate that. You're five stars for you.
Yay!
I'll give you out what a work tango points that we give out at work. I say that, but I probably won't because I'm terrible at that. But in my heart, I'm giving you work tango points.
Feel it.
Okay, good. So we're going to be talking more about how to prepare for the best VBS ever this summer so that you are on top of all the things at the right time and that you are totally ready to go. Melita is a wonderful expert in helping us know what to do when and how to do it well so that we can be ready for VBS. But first, let's catch up a little bit. So it's been a little while since we did our last podcast together in listener time. You know, in our time, in real time, it was about 2 minutes ago that we finished recording the last one. But it's been several weeks.
You're not supposed to pull back the curtain.
Drat. All right, listeners, let's close that curtain back up. Pretend you didn't hear that. How have you been since I saw you last?
Oh, man, I've been doing great.
It's been so long.
I've had some really good conversations.
Last time we talked about hockey and we talked about arena football, which is the sport I never knew that I might like.
Well, when the arena football team was here before they kind of went away, we always called it Barbie football because it's not quite real football.
It's like JV kind of a thing.
Well,
I think like the USFL is kind of like JV.
Everything's a little bit smaller, like different proportions.
There you go. It's like the skipper.
It's the skipper of football.
Well, it's kind of like basketball, football, hockey. You put people in a rink with glass and walls, and it gets more exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fill it with fans. Make sure there's popcorn. I have two priorities, which is, can I get popcorn and can I get ice cream in some sort of oddly shaped container?
Like a helmet.
I am all about a helmet, a Zamboni. I saw there's popcorn in a Zamboni last night. It was almost worth spending the $35.
Yikes. See, I wouldn't know what to do the next day. I can see in the moment, it's like, okay, I'm going to get the souvenir Zamboni popcorn holder. But then the next day you have all this regret. It's like, okay, now what do I do with it? It doesn't fit in the cupboard. It doesn't stack on the plates or the bowls. I have to have a special place for my Zamboni popcorn bucket.
It's true. And your children are too big now. Like normally you could just give it to them and they'll just play with it.
Yeah.
Right? And it'll get thrown in a toy box and there's always a purpose.
And so you find those, you get those things. You're one of those people. So let's talk about
Like,
are you a souvenir cup person?
No.
But you just sort of hinted that you might be if there was ice cream in it.
It's true. I just so I've had my season tickets. This sounds terrible, but I've had my season tickets to the Nashville Predators hockey team now 20 years, which is insane.
And we still have not won
a Stanley Cup. NHL one or a Target.
Maybe
one.
It's you.
I think it's
you
me.
You have to start to wonder if they should trade you.
They should.
Trade you
they
for another fan.
Trade me. But anyway, I had.
And you know, I can't help but notice as you say that in the moment, Lifeway hasn't won a Stanley Cup either.
This is true.
In all the time you've been here.
It's true. Man, it is me.
ponder. Okay.
Anyway, all that to say is I was just cleaning out some stuff. I'd like, you know, spring cleaning, it's March, so it's time to do some of that. And I realized that I had all of these souvenir cups from different seasons over the years. And they have, you know, different iterations of the logo and different players' numbers. And I was going through them going, what do I do with
them? It's like a historical retrospective.
I don't drink out of them.
Yeah.
And do I need these? I don't think I need them.
No.
So now they are all in the trunk of my car.
Okay.
Waiting for me to take them, I don't know.
Where?
Goodwill? Yes. I don't know where all of these cups are going to go.
Okay. You either read my mind or you just took me there. Because then what happens, and this is not a joke.
You're going to go to Goodwill.
Yeah, this is
them,
no.
Right?
This is a literal thing that has happened. Then Chuck goes to Goodwill, and as I am perusing, you know, for thrifty scores, I will see, for instance, a Nashville Predators bobblehead from 1997, and it's sitting there in the Goodwill, and I will take a picture of it and send it to you and say, do you want this? And you'll be like, no, I donated that. And that's kind of the circle of life
right.
for these things.
I don't mind the text. It would be stranger if you bought it for me and brought it.
No, I'm too cheap to do that. I'm not going to. However, I will take a picture of it and send it to you. I recently was in a thrift store. I don't know if it was Goodwill or not, but I was in a thrift store. This episode brought to you by Goodwill.
Thrifting.
Yeah, donate. But I was in a thrift store and I found these old IMB. So for you Southern Baptists, the International Mission Board, I found this collectible IMB Christmas ornaments, and there were like five or six of them. And so I took a picture and sent those to some of our other colleagues. Mm-hmm. And I said, Landry Holmes, do you want these? Nobody wanted them. But it is kind of fun,
Landry,
the things that you find at the – you never know what kind of treasures you'll find when
you're
thrifting.
That's true. So, like old VBS t-shirts.
I see
that a lot too.
Yes. And I often will like think, I should get that t-shirt. And then I realize I have 12 of them in my closet already. They're a little bit over the course of time, like the collecting all the souvenir cups.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, I have these. What do I do with them?
Yes.
Have you ever thought about the idea of doing the thing where you turn them into a blanket?
I have.
Have
not.
You seen those, though?
I have
though?
Seen many people who do that.
Yeah. But I think it's cool.
I usually keep mine and then they become my paint shirt for next year. So like I can get a year of wear out of them when it's the actual theme. And then I have another year to remember, oh, I loved that theme.
Yeah.
And then it's got to go.
And then you're like, were the paint splotches on this part of the original design, or did I do
for
that?
For Spark Studios, who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
That's a throwback.
It is a throwback. Well, yeah, I often, not often, but when I do see those VBS t-shirts on the rack, it always makes me smile.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep.
Absolutely. It's just a reminder of that. You know, the things that we've poured our lives into, the impact that it's had on children across the country, around the world, and just that little reminder of God's not done with VBS. Like,
that's
it has
right.
been around forever, and it is still going strong, and it is still 100% worth doing. And those little reminders of the past, and that always makes me think of God's faithfulness to continue to impact lives, you know, for the kingdom, transform lives for eternity in the past. He's going to do it this summer, and he's going to continue to do it in the future. It's this beautiful story that's larger than life, you know, it outlives us.
Yeah.
And that's a cool thing to be part of. So,
it
makes me smile.
And to see how God takes the things that we do. And you may be in a small church in some small little town. I went to a small church in a small little town.
Me too.
And God used the impact and influence of the leaders that I had in that little church to build in me a faith in his son, in a ministry over the course of years.
Absolutely.
That is a legacy that belongs to those leaders. And every single one of you who is pouring into the life of a child, sharing Jesus with them, connecting them with God, you are building a legacy.
Absolutely.
You have no idea how that kid who may not seem to be listening, or the one who may be the most difficult, might turn out to be who knows what.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth it.
Absolutely.
It's worth it. It's worth it. It's Worth It is the name of a book that we published a couple years ago about VBS.
It is.
Where we included some statistics and some content about the importance and value of VBS for the church. Listeners, if you have not found that book, I want you to go look for that. It's called It's Worth It. If you go to lifeway.com/kids and scroll down, you'll find a collection of books that our team has published. It's Worth It is one that is absolutely worth it for you to read. So I would send you there as a person who loves VBS and who knows the value of VBS. It's a great resource for you to have words and language and statistics that you can share with your pastor to help him understand the value of VBS. And I just think if you haven't read the book, it will reignite in you a fire for why we do what we do.
Absolutely.
So we talked a little bit about a couple episodes ago, going way back into the archives a couple of weeks ago, I guess, where we talked about what we needed to be doing right now to get ready for VBS. And now some time has passed. And so let's talk about what we should be doing right now in VBS. And as we draw nearer and nearer to summer, what we need to do. You had pointed our listeners last time to the administrative guide.
Yes.
That's a part of, or that's available as a standalone resource on lifeway.com. Lifeway.com/VBS is your place to find all of the VBS resources that you need. And it's also in the director's kit, which is a great place to start. So if you don't have that yet, go get it as quick as you can. And if you do have it, pull out that administrative guide and spend time in there, because it is, as I said last time, like a tiny Melita on your desk. It knows all the things, and your brain has been captured in this book with, along with the brains of our other team members to help you know what to do when to run the best VBS ever.
Yes.
So let's pick up. You had talked about what we need to get started. Let's reserve the space at your church. Make sure it's on the calendar. Get your core people in the know. Have a plan to know what you want to accomplish and what your VBS might look like and other things. So go back and listen to that episode, listeners, if you missed it. But let's pick it up. Once we've got kind of the big picture things established and in place, let's get down to the nitty gritty of some of those key things that, that we all need to focus on in recruiting, training, and promoting our VBS.
Yes.
So let's start with, you want to roll the dice? The number cubes. You want to shake
cubes?
Let's start with
you gotta start with
building a team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love, I like that, building a team, because this really is one of these VBSs. This is unique in pretty much anything else that we do, especially in kids ministry, because it's beyond just kids ministry. It is a whole church event.
Yes.
And so the number of people we know that it takes to pull it off, we're not going to find them, most likely, enough of them within just your go-to
every week kind of a team.
So you're going to have to expand it. And that's really where it gets fun.
Yeah.
And that's really where it becomes beautiful, because it's like this, I think in It's Worth It, some of the quotes from real life people in the trenches. One of the quotes was, this is where we see a multi-generational army unleashed from our church out into our community. And because it involves every single person from every single walk of life, there is a place for you to serve.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in the floor with a three-year-old. You can be sitting at a desk for check-in. You could be even working from home and handling the online registration. You could be standing in the parking lot greeting guests. You could be serving a snack. I mean, there is literally something
playing
for
games,
everyone.
Playing leading a song.
Absolutely.
Running the media from the back of the room. Helping connect new families just as a friend to adults, not even engaging with kids to welcome guests. Working in follow-up, all kinds of opportunities. So and that can seem, as a director who's responsible for finding all those people, can feel overwhelming and that can feel intimidating. But it's also a huge opportunity for us to give opportunity to people who would not otherwise get to serve.
Absolutely.
That could also lead to discovering a passion in people or people with a passion for children's ministry.
Absolutely. Yeah, this becomes one of the greatest recruitment tools for continued ongoing programming in your church, because there's a short-term ask.
Yes.
I can much more easily get someone to say yes to 5 days
right
than I can to 52 weeks.
Yes.
Or whatever the length of times, a lifetime.
Yes, that's right.
You signed up forever and you never have an out.
Never ending commitment. Yeah.
But a 5-day commitment is, you know, it's 3 hours, it's 5 days a week. That seems doable to most people, especially if I get to teach with a friend or I'm going to be paired with someone who really knows what they're doing, or maybe I'm, quote, just a helper.
Right.
And then I have success. And that doesn't happen just magically.
Right.
That happens strategically.
Right.
You can ensure that a volunteer has success by communicating up front, by helping them understand the why, painting a picture of why this is so important, of the kingdom aspect of the work. You can help them by providing job descriptions so they know exactly what's going to be expected
of them. What the expectations are.
And then they know whether they've met the expectation or not at the end. And you can train them. You can mentor them. You can pair them up. You can put them in the right spot and not asking someone to do something that's so outside of their comfort zone, they're going to be, you know, ill at ease the entire week. Those kinds of things can lead to success when someone feels like, I know what's expected of me. I know how to measure it.
Yeah.
And I've been given all the tools and taught how to use them.
Yeah.
Now I can go and have a successful experience. And a lot of times people are shocked when all those things are in place, and then a volunteer goes, well, that was so much fun, or that was so easy, or I had everything I needed. I didn't expect it to go this well. Sign me up again next year.
Yeah.
Or, hey, you got another thing happening in a couple of weeks. I might like to do that too. And then that those kinds of things, as you continue to invest in those fringe leaders, if you will, they become your go-to leaders over time.
It's a good on-ramp.
Absolutely.
For developing new leaders. It's also a great way to involve teens.
Absolutely.
And kids. I had shared a few episodes ago that one of my first ministry experiences as a kid was when I was too old to go back to VBS, but my mom was a leader and I was a helper. Mm-hmm. So it's a great place. My own daughter, who is now a children's ministry director at our church, found her calling through VBS, her passion for kids ministry. So it's a great place to introduce people to serving. So, okay, give us a few tips on how to go about recruiting for VBS. How is it different than recruiting for that 52-week-a-year commitment? Mm-hmm. And what are some tips that you have?
Well, I would always encourage you, one, to start with prayer, because you said it can feel overwhelming, and it can. It's a daunting task, I know. But God has said He will give us everything that we need. He will provide, not we have to go find, or we have to scrounge around, or we have to beg. God's going to provide it for us, but we have to ask Him for that. So I would start there, and I would start not just you praying, but getting others to be praying about that too, because that's really is the key. Your sphere of influence is only so wide. The people that you are aware of or that you have a relationship with, but as you let other people into that circle with you, then they bring their sphere of influence. And so this begins, the pool grows.
Yes.
So as you say, I'm really looking for this kind of a person to fill this kind of a role. You might not know in your congregation who that person is, but the person you've just said that to goes, oh, well, that's so-and-so. And so they have the relationship already to help make that ask, so that it's not just pawning them off onto you and they go, well, I don't know you, or I don't know that. You allow other people into the process, and then it becomes so much easier to recruit. So always beginning with prayer, always beginning with involving others in helping petition the Lord for those needs and helping to look for the people that God might be calling to do that this summer. So knowing that, and then I always, always, always encourage leaders to make a personal, individual ask. Standing up during the announcements on Sunday morning and saying, we need help, never yields the results you hope it will.
Yeah.
Either no one steps forward, or the people that you absolutely do not want to step forward are the ones who step forward.
Right.
So being very intentional, and then that allows you to, as you said, to communicate your heart, the why, the value, and what you get to do this week in these 5 days is, you know, have an impact on eternity. You get to do something that's going to outlast you. You get to be part of something big. You get to be part of what God is doing. Those kinds of words, when you're able to communicate that one and one-on-one over coffee, on a phone call, scheduling some time, not just a grab you in the hallway and put you on the spot, but an intentional sit-down conversation. When you make that kind of appeal, people want to be part of something that feels worth their time.
Yes.
People want to be part of something that feels bigger than themselves. And I really, truly think people want to be part of what God is doing.
Yes.
But they need to know this is an opportunity. So it's not just, will you come wrangle kids?
Yeah.
Or would you come and be, you know, a buddy or help us move from one rotation to the other? But what you get to do is to represent Jesus, is to be hands and feet, is to, you know, you make that kind of appeal and you're much more likely to get a yes.
Yeah.
So always, always, always doing that. And then I love to kind of have a buddy system in place where leaders recruit leaders.
Yes.
It may feel a little bit old school and, you know, in years before my time, well, maybe even at the beginning of my time. You know, we had departments, you know, you had a preschool department and you had then a classroom director or an age group director. And then they, so you had this kind of pyramid scheme of recruitment.
That's kind of
gone by the wayside, you know, and we're in a situation now where a lot of times we're struggling to find volunteers.
Yeah.
We're in a week to week kind of crisis management mode.
Yes.
But this is a great opportunity in VBS where people want to teach with their friend.
Yeah.
They want to teach with their buddy. They want to teach with the person that they enjoy spending time with. And it's a lot more fun to do the prep ahead of time when you're doing it with a friend.
Yeah.
And so if you can find key leaders and then say to them, you know, here are some ideas of people to ask. And I'm going to help make some asks, but would you find one person or would you find two friends to teach with you? Then all of a sudden that becomes a lot more manageable of a task. So allowing leaders to recruit leaders ends up making this, you know, short order.
There's a lot to the importance of those friendships.
Absolutely.
As well, right? We know from our research that fed our book, Flip the Script, that when a person, when a child has a friend they want to attend, we talk about those four key flip relationships that everyone needs: a friend, a leader, an influencer, and a relationship with a pastor. Mm-hmm. And that's true of our adult leaders as well.
Absolutely.
It's not only true of kids.
Absolutely.
So when VBS becomes an opportunity for me to minister with a friend or to make a friend.
Yes.
Those connections for our leaders, it's not just about what we get out of them.
Right.
It's what they get out of the experience. And so there's a lot to be gained beyond fulfilling the need and obligation that we have to fulfill a slot. Mm-hmm. That's very different than giving someone an opportunity to do something that is fulfilling and enriching and satisfying to them.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's all a little bit in how we frame that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And then again, you're more willing for them, or more likely for them to say yes, and they are much more likely to have higher success, right? You know, to come out feeling successful and to come out willing to do it again.
It also helps, and you've referred to this before. It might have been in our past episode about setting very specific expectations.
Absolutely.
So we're not just saying, "Come and help us." Whatever
right,
we need
to
in the moment,
show up
right?
And we'll tell you when you get there.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Me too.
But if
me
I too. Know exactly what's needed and the job is, I've got that job description that's clearly defined, that's much easier to say yes to.
And I'll say it's universally true, but it is especially true for men who are volunteering. They need a clearly communicated set of expectations. They need to know, did I meet these expectations? Did my job description and what I did, do they line up? I want to know going in, mostly so I know if I hit the mark.
Right.
And those kinds of things, you know, I think sometimes kids ministry, we tend to think of it as almost being a women only kind of space. It's women and children.
Yeah.
But you cannot underestimate the value of men as leaders, especially with children who need those kinds of role models, who need to see that consistency, who need to develop a friendship with someone who's not, you know, a guy related to them. They need to see men serving at church and they need to be accessible. And so sometimes the way that we recruit is different based on if I'm trying to recruit a lady or I'm trying to create or to trying to
recruit.
Recruit. Thank you. Why did my brain just decide to stop? That's
what I'm here for.
To recruit a dude.
Yeah.
Right? So having those, the job descriptions are already created for you in the administrative guide, and those downloadable resources, they already exist. You can tweak them, but they cover the basic expectations. You need to be able to communicate your expectations or what your policies dictate for background checks, or how things, sometimes it's as simple as if you've got guys serving with preschoolers, to help them know you don't have to change a diaper. Like, our policy says you can't.
Right.
And then, okay, well, then I'm all in. So sometimes just being able to communicate what you will be expected to do and what you won't, what you can and you can't do, knowing what's going in, what's going to be asked of you going in, really makes a difference. Also, giving them, all leaders, giving them the tools that they need, giving them their curriculum, teaching them how to use it, making sure that it matches the age group. Mm-hmm. We run into this a lot in VBS because our resources are designed for the year or the grade completed. So if I pick up a kindergarten leader guide, for example, it's not for incoming kindergartners. It's designed to be used for incoming first graders.
Right, the completed kindergarten.
Right, so a teacher may have some frustration if she's got a room of 3- and 4-year-olds and you've given her the kindergarten resources and there's some expectations of reading and writing and fine motor skills that younger preschoolers don't have developmentally yet. And so then she's going to experience frustration because she can't use the material. It doesn't work
right
with the age group she's taught. So we run into that a lot. So making sure you as the director, or you who are listening who are going to be in a classroom, making sure that what you have been given, the tool has to match, and that you have all of the pieces. And making sure, again, as we recruit, that we say for a new leader, you're not going to have to do this on your own. We're going to pair you up with an experienced leader, or we're going to put you in this system that already works, so you cannot fail. And then, again, I'm more likely to say yes.
Yes. And then, so the next part of that is once we have those leaders and we get the right resource matched, we've paired them up, partnered them up, made a good plan for their success. Mm-hmm. Training is
absolutely
a big part of that.
Huge.
We don't want you to show up and we're going to hand you a book on Monday morning and expect you to teach it at 9:30.
Right.
There's training that's a part of this, or that should
I'll
be,
teach
right?
You how to use this and how to do it.
And training is an opportunity for all of us who are running a VBS to find ways that we can up our game. There are many, many, many churches, many places who do training really well.
Yes.
But many of us, this may be a spot where we need to evaluate to see if we are adequately preparing our leaders. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about what are some expectations and some hopes and some desirable outcomes by either adding training if I'm not doing it, or by doing it a little differently if I could do it better.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you the stat that I always love to share with our training teams that are going out, because first of all, it's too late for this year. But I want everybody to know who's listening that Lifeway offers some fantastic training events for VBS every single January. So
every
put it
January.
On the calendar for next year.
Yeah.
Tickets will go on sale with theme reveal in June. When we talk about next year's theme,
our VBS preview events in January, and those are training and equipping in nature.
Right. Not just for your leader, but for your whole team. So these churches that already know we've got our team in place, or we've got our key leaders in place, they come, they enjoy these events and get trained and equipped, and they are ready to go once VBS season rolls around. So that's coming up for next year.
In Nashville, in Houston, in Fort Worth, and in Ridgecrest, North Carolina.
Yes.
So there are 4 locations for those, hopefully within driving distance or an affordable flight for people from most places in the country.
Yes.
And so if you can get to one of those, it is absolutely worth the energy it takes to get there.
Absolutely.
Huge return for your team.
So we talk about that a lot. There's a stat that for every one leader who is trained, there are 1.1 salvation decisions.
Wow.
And
so the return on investment there is clear.
Is very clear. And I think that is I don't know that we could say technically that's a causal relationship, but they are definitely correlated.
Yeah.
Because I believe a leader who has been trained understands his or her role differently. They see it differently. They see it through the lens of the gospel. They see it through the lens of a long-term goal. They see it through the as how it accomplishes the vision and the mission of our church. And they see this as this is valuable to the kingdom. So I'm not just playing games outside. I'm not just serving a snack. I'm doing kingdom work. And so training your team helps them not only do the work of VBS, but also contributes to the satisfaction that they have out of having been part of something big.
All right, I'm sold. You got me. I'm there okay. for the training, for the value training. Of it. Great. I have no idea how to lead a training sure. for VBS.
Well, we can help you.
You can?
I absolutely
okay,
can.
Okay, good. Because to tell me I need to do it, that's, again, I start to feel overwhelmed with that expectation.
That's all right.
Unless there's a tiny Melita on my desk.
There is a tiny Melita on your desk. And on page 33 of this tiny Melita.
Of the administrative guide.
The administrative guide. There's a training outline. It's also, there's a training outline in the director's club at lifeway.com/VBS.
And that's free.
It's free. It's absolutely free. And then this one is part of the administrative guide. There's a PowerPoint that accompanies it, which is on those digital downloads or on that CD-ROM and also in the director's club. So you can get it in any number of ways.
So you get the guide, you get the PowerPoint.
But
you're
this
set to
walks
go.
You exactly through. There's a supply list at the beginning, and then it's going to tell you exactly what to do. And for 5 minutes, you're going to do this welcome. You're going to play this icebreaker game.
Okay, I can do that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Then the next part is we're going to unpack the content, and you've got the PowerPoint that shows you. It even says, "Say this year at VBS, we will have this verse." So it walks you through exactly what to do. This is a great time, again, not to feel like you have to do it yourself, but you may want to offer a little bit of a preview. Bring your music team up and let them sing, teach the theme song. You may want to have your really gifted storyteller come up and tell the Bible stories that day so that all of your leaders get to hear it. And hear it presented well, model how you want them to tell it when they're doing it.
So I'm picturing at my church, what we might typically do would be to have like a Saturday morning.
Yes.
We're going to invite people. We're going to have some food, some snacks out, some coffee for sure. Mm-hmm. And we're going to run through a little program that is our training.
Yes.
And is that about right?
Yeah. In my church, we do it on Sundays after worship.
Yeah.
And our director gives us our curriculum. We sit with our teaching team. We have our curriculum there. She gives us the overview of stuff. She tells us things that are unique to our church. We go through the rotation schedule. We talk about what to happen if you need a nurse during the week or who security is going to be. And so those kinds of practical things that everybody's on the same page. She gives us a folder that has all the things that we need to know in it and who's supposed to be where and when. And then we even have time at our tables with our teaching team to go ahead and start planning and make assignments or get to know each other if we've not met and taught before. So there's lots of different ways you can do it. And it doesn't have to require an additional, you've got to come in another time and this has to be this long drawn out thing. You can couple it with informational meetings you're going to be having anyway. But it's very, very important to help everybody feel ownership of what's going on that week and to know what their piece of the puzzle is.
And about how much time do I need to allocate for this kind of training to do it well?
Well, it really can be as much as you would like. I would say you wouldn't want to go much less than a half hour and probably not any more than an hour and a half or people kind of tune out.
2 hours at the outside. That's not a ridiculous amount of time.
No.
But it's really valuable time.
Absolutely.
In getting your team ready.
Absolutely. So yeah, everybody needs to be part of the equation, and it doesn't everybody needs to feel like I am confident in what you've asked me to do. I understand how this is going to work. I know what my piece of it is, and then that allows us to be successful.
All right, let's move on to promotion. We need to get the word out about our VBS within our community and through our church. Let's spend just a minute or two on talking about what are some tips for how to promote.
Sure. Yeah. It's to be creative. The sky's the limit. You want as many people to be involved again as possible because you want the word to get out and you want to leverage the tools that your church already uses for promotion. So if you're announcing things through social media, VBS needs to be part of that.
Put it there.
If you're creating content ahead of a worship service, VBS needs to be very visible there. If you're doing let's go old school. If you're doing things in the newspaper, if that's where your community gets their information, your VBS needs to be there. Mm-hmm. I've seen churches who will have a Christmas float, you know, or a float in the Christmas parade, or they'll do their Easter egg hunt has information about their VBS or and their dates, or your fall festival has your trunk or treat is VBS themed. And so using those things that are already in place that are touch points already with your community, leveraging those to help get the word out.
And if you have a sign outside your church where you can change those letters on that screen, whether it's digital or analog, like the old movie marquee.
Yes.
Put your VBS dates up there in advance so the folks who are people who are driving by who may not be inside your church can see that. And I love those big promotional banners that we offer. Tell us a little bit about those.
Well, we offer a big promotional banner.
We do? That's so cool. What a great
idea.
It's
a big vinyl banner with grommets. You can put it on a stake or hang it outside.
But that goes a long way towards having those big signs outside your church.
Oh, absolutely.
And it makes it easy for you to have something that looks professional and that's branded with the theme art that can really draw attention as people drive by.
And I would say never underestimate the value of a personal invitation. We know, again, you referenced it. It's worth it.
Yes.
In a previous podcast, or maybe it was this one.
It was probably this one.
Okay, this one.
We just referenced it again. It's worth it.
It's worth it, that book. But one of the most staggering statistics in there for me was that 69% of parents, that's not Christian parents or churched parents, it's all parents in the U.S., 69% of parents said they would allow their child to attend or would encourage their child to attend a VBS at a church that they don't go to if their child was invited by a friend.
Yeah.
And so the best promotion strategy is one that stems from relationship. So helping your people and training your church members to be the ones going out, getting the word out, bringing a friend with you. If you're teaching in VBS, you're bringing your kids already, you ought to load up the minivan
with all the
kids on your street.
Bring your neighbors.
It's not a big ask that you do that for 5 days. And so leaning on your people to help get the word out, that's what's going to be the most successful strategy.
Recruitment, training, and promotion are three big keys to help you have a better VBS than ever this summer. Melita Thomas, thank you for your time and
for
your insight. Listeners, we want to direct you again back to our webpage, lifeway.com/VBS, where you can find all the resources you need in terms of kits and guides and all the tools for VBS, as well as our free Directors Club, which will give you even more extras and bonus material to help you run and lead a fantastic VBS this summer. We are excited to have you participate in Lifeway VBS. VBS is still one of the, if not the largest evangelical outreach event that any church will ever do. And so when you are a part of VBS, you are a part of something really big in terms of the kingdom impact that you are having through your ministry. So thank you for what you do. Head over to lifeway.com/VBS. Find all those great things and know that we are here to partner with you to help you be the best you can be as you serve the kids and families in your communities. Thank you for listening. We'll see you back again soon for another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.